Business AM.
Radio Special Cybersecurity.
En we zijn terug met Xenia Iliuk, hoofd research bij Detector Media in Oekraïne. En we hebben het nog altijd over cybersecurity en de impact van desinformatie. Ms. Iliuk, perhaps a bit of an awkward question, but how is your approach to your own pro-Ukrainian disinformation meant to cheer people up? Do you consider that as fake news as well?
I think here is like a bit of a nerd terminology thing, you know, because of course there is pro-Ukrainian propaganda, but not solely disinformation, because disinformation has an ill intent at the very beginning, at the core of it. So in the case of Ukraine, there is of course some pro-Ukrainian propaganda that is an essential part for keeping up the moral, first of all, of the troops, and second of overall for the people. But I think it's just very important to understand that this kind of cheering up, as long as it doesn't have this ill intention that is not basing on the purely fake information, this is something that we could just leave. We don't have to directly interact with it. This is kind of a very overall, some call it soft power, you know, some call it more of a propaganda. But as long as it stays on this side, this is something we do not interact with. So that's why Ukrainian civil society is actually very, very closely following that and not allowing, for instance, authorities to cross that kind of line. And as long as some of the things, they could be, of course, not true. Like, for instance, the ghost of Kyiv. Maybe you've heard about it. It was created right at the beginning of the full-scale war. And this is a fake story, of course, but it was a collective image of a few pilots in Ukraine. So it is an urban legend. Is it true? No. Is it a disinformation? No, because it doesn't have this kind of ill intention. It's rather an urban legend.
Mm-hmm. And in this warfare campaign, who is your target audience?
Meaning that, of course, all Ukrainians are the target audience of warfare that is happening against Ukraine. Not only Ukrainians, but actually basically worldwide. We see different campaigns targeting democratic countries. We see even campaigns, malign information campaigns targeting countries even with less level of democratic development that are not even supporting Ukraine very much, but still they are targeting these countries to keep up this level of ignorance or not, just not to switch to the supportive side. So I would say again that it's a very broad answer, but everyone to some extent is being targeted. It's just some of the audiences have these malign information campaigns ongoing, and for some it's more of a from time to time targeting.
Yes. Ms. Iliuk, you are Ukrainian. I can imagine that in your war-ravaged country, accuracy of information has even greater impact. Did the war change your business approach, the way you handled disinformation?
I think, first of all, it has changed dramatically in terms of how Ukrainians and different Ukrainian decision makers, right, like, for instance, Ukrainian business, Ukrainian state agencies, how they see malign information campaigns and disinformation, because in their experience, and all of us Ukrainians, they realize that this is something that could literally kill you. For business, it costs money, of course. You know, for state, it's like huge security threats and stuff. But on the personal level, everyone realizes this is a huge threat. So that's why this kind of threat awareness changes the fact that it's now, of course, way easier. You don't start with explaining, okay, why it is a problem. Everyone already understands why it is a problem. You start already from the, okay, how we should act, what can we do about it?
Mm-hmm. But when urgent pressing matters are also affected by misinformation, disinformation becomes very real, I think. How do citizens decide whether or not they should leave their homes, for example, or which escape route is safe with certainty?
Indeed, that was like the very, very complicated time, because it's and overall it is still is, because from one side we have this very demand, basically life essential demand, to get this quality 100% truthful information, and on the other side we have the course of war and the battlefields, and there is some information that is impossible to check, to fact check. Some information you cannot actually public, because it could easily, you know, help the Russian side, and they would just easily kill a bunch of Ukrainian soldiers just because journalism or fact checkers, they just published a piece of information that they saw. So it was always very hard to find this balance, to maintain this balance. But I think for Ukraine, it was a very great synergy between civil society, business, media, and the state has been happening so far. So it was way easier to keep people updated and to give them this very flash, very straight to the point updates, so that they could actually make the decisions about what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Recent research in Ukraine shows that 80% of its residents perceive disinformation as a threat. That is a crushingly high figure. So are there no more reliable channels then?
No, of course not. I would say it's kind of the opposite, that people saw actually that how disinformation actually works. I sometimes joke that there is no better debunk of Russian propaganda rather than the missile you see outside of your window. So I would say that's kind of the opposite. People started valuing so much the channels that have the long standing reputation and can provide this quality, truthful information in times like that. So I think that's kind of the opposite. And overall, as I mentioned, it kind of for Ukrainians, it became very personal, because so many Ukrainians had families in Russia and they were calling to talking with their Russian relatives, and their Russian relatives were repeating all of these narratives of Russian propaganda, while Ukrainians with their own eyes saw that this is not like that, that this is completely untrue. So, of course, it kind of became very personal for everyone. Mm.
You are using the power of artificial intelligence to detect disinformation. In what ways do companies benefit from that?
So, first of all, is that this big change that companies should understand that they could be either the target of malign information campaigns or very often a collateral damage. And by using AI, we help them to see the information environment comprehensively and not just focus on the mentions on the name of the company or the name of the CEO, that most of the companies still just track that to understand and to kind of anticipate the communication crisis. But more than communication crises are way much more comprehensive. So that's where AI comes in hand.
Okay. Is there, beside the hunt to diffuse propaganda, also a corporate side of your business where the corporate world pays to feel surrounded by secure information in their cyber environment?
Indeed. I think there are two parts. First is that overall rational decision making. We had cases about like some companies that were making decision to invest or not to invest in a specific region, and their business analysts were unable to detect, because they are not familiar with the nature of malign information campaigns. They were not able to detect that this part of information that they got was actually deliberately planted for years by those who are doing malign information campaigns. So first part for decision making, and second, basically for just everyday reputation, brand management. We had so many cases when companies were literally losing clients, losing money because they were either directly targeted or just being a collateral damage from the very big state-sponsored campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Citizens too often think disinformation is about politics. Business, in turn, too often thinks it's a media problem. How widespread and how impactful are these disinformation campaigns in numbers? Do you have numbers?
Yes, there was a very interesting study pre-COVID times that each year it's $7.8 billion that all these malign information campaigns cost global economy. And if the company is become a target, like suffer from the successful malign information campaign, unfortunately, 51% of the companies are not able to recover their share price after a year the incident took place. So these are actually a very crazy number that, again, as you mentioned, most companies and most people think that it's not about us until they actually face it.
Mm-hmm. We zijn zo terug met Xenia Iliouk voor het derde deel van deze cybersecurity special.
Business AM. Radio special cybersecurity.